Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road again. Dom, Johnny's Lounge, Beaver Dam, sitting out here on the deck across from Beaver Dam Lake. Got some fine people drinking some cold beers, and we've been joined by Batman. You put out the call, and Batman responded. He is Matt Rothschild, our good friend from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, thank you for making the trip to Beaver Dam, brother.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
Oh, well, you know, I love to come on your show wherever you're going, and it's a beautiful day. I didn't mind driving out 151 at all. Didn't get a ticket, so I'm happy.
And you made it just in time.
And, Matt,
not saying I was going over the speed limit.
No, no.
Don't subpoena me, whatever you do.
Matt, and it was not a fiction. That is truly a Trump flag immediately over our shoulders.
Are you the one who ripped it?
No, it's been flying proudly for a number of years, apparently, Matt.
It's seen its better days, that's for sure.
As did the
– when it was just a piece of cloth.
Matt Rothschild. You know, we talk a lot about solving problems, and we think there's truly a problem. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, for those unfamiliar, your organization is something of a watchdog for campaign finance cash, really both sides of the aisle. But it is apparently the Republicans, at least seemingly, that are resistant to changing the status quo, the elective status quo. And the status quo is broken, as you well know, Matt. So HB1, SB1, we see this potential federal remedy. Let's assume we can bring along Joe Manchin. Matt, do you think it solves all the problems that ill our nation?
It doesn't solve them all, but it solves a lot. It would solve the gerrymandering problem, for one. It would give us automatic voter registration. It would give us absentee voting, more so than what the Republican legislators want to do here in Wisconsin. They want to restrict that. So it would, and it would allow these states to do a lot of the horrible things that they're doing, including Wisconsin, to try to limit the ability to vote by absentee ballot. And some of these other states want to change the rules on, you know, who can verify the votes. I'm not even sure HR1 handles that. That needs to be handled. But it would do a lot of things. It also would expose dark money. I mean, one thing we do at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, like you said, Trudy, is we track and expose money in politics, including the money that's above board, that's reported, but also we try to estimate anyway some of the dark money.
Right.
We don't know for sure, but we're trying to put at least a dollar amount conservative on what these outside dark money groups are spending by calling the TV stations and the radio stations and see what they're charging them. And this HR1 would require disclosure of people who are donating, I think it's $100 or more, to these dark money groups. And that would be a huge advance. But, you know, it doesn't solve everything. I mean, you've been talking in the last hour, you and Dom, about this coup attempt that Trump was trying to bring off. And I was always scared he was going to do that. I was telling people I'm not going to breathe easy until 11:59 on January 20th. HR1 wouldn't solve that. One thing Congress has got to do after they investigate what happened on January 6th is take the Insurrection Act off the books. The Insurrection Act lets the President of the United States, on his own volition and his alone, put U.S. troops into the streets. Trump could have done that. I mean, as you said, he wasn't smart enough to pull it off, but he could have done it. He could have invoked the Insurrection Act, and essentially we would have had martial law here. We can't allow any president to do that. And so that's one thing they've got to do. There are other things like Homeland Security Directive or National Security Directive 51 that gives the president the ability to declare an emergency and again put troops in the streets and basically take over the government. So there are all these things on the books that if Trump were smart enough, he could have dusted off and pulled off. Now, whether General Milley and the soldiers under Milley's command, but as Dom said, no, as you said, Trudy, he's commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Someone would have saluted and obeyed if he fired enough people to get to someone who'd say, you know, yes, sir, and then we'd have been in a world of hurt. So we've got to do something about this real crisis that we faced on January 6th.
Well, and something structural, Matt, and some of the reporting of Milley was that they were basically going, him and the other generals, were going to engage in a self Saturday night massacre. Trump told them to do something. They were going to resign one by one. But as you mentioned, at some point, someone eventually, Private Crudy, might say yes.
I mean, he would have been able to appoint someone who was going to who was going to follow his orders.
Specialist Crudy E4. He's going to straight. I got Batman. He is Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He joins us here on the Johnny's Lounge deck in Beaver Dam across from Beaver Dam Lake. We appreciate you doing so. And, you know, compared to a coup d'etat, you know, it seems so quaint to talk about Supreme Court rulings. But this new conservative, 6-3 conservative, I know I said that, but I like to repeat it. Supreme Court ruled basically to continue shielding donors from disclosure. Matt, wanted to get your opinion of the recent ruling.
Yeah, this was an Arizona case, I think, or a California case. It's a bad ruling. I mean, we should know who's paying for the mud that's splattering on our screens during election time. And I know we're all sick of seeing the mud on our screens, and we're wondering who's paying for it.
Yeah, we need more mud on the radio.
You need it. You need it. It's paid for by the truckload. But look, as citizens, we should be able to know who's paying for that mud, for that sleaze that's all over our computer screens or our TV screens during election time. And a lot of these groups have real antiseptic names, like, you know, Badgers for Eternal Victory or Badgers for Cheddar Cheese or whatever you want to call
Colby
it.
Cheese.
Colby Cheese now. It's the state cheese. And it doesn't give you any clue whatsoever, you know, who's behind that group. And we should know who's behind that group. They're trying to influence the election. And also maybe they'll be getting something on the backside from the people they're trying to support.
Well, now, Matt, what about, you know, the NAACP, some legitimate, you know, nonprofit groups that are they're trying to do good things that perhaps, especially back in the day, didn't want their donors to be known because they would face reprisals from the Ku Klux Klan. How do you get around that particular caveat?
Well, you know, I think if they're trying to really influence who's going to be elected, it's more important that the public and the citizenry know. And if people are scared of what the repercussions are, maybe they shouldn't be given to these dark money groups. And to me, you know, this all came out during McCain-Feingold. These were some of the arguments we heard way back then. And I was on McCain's side and Feingold's side on that. I think it's just more important for our democracy to function if we have, you know, sunlight, as we have this afternoon, to expose what's going on. Otherwise, we don't know who's behind the scenes, you know, throwing their weight around. And I think everyone listening to the show knows that, you know, they don't have as much power as those folks with the big bucks who are paying for these ads or sending tons of money to these dark money groups. And that's just not fair. We should have an equal playing field.
Matt, you make an excellent point about Feingold McCain. We already had campaign finance reform in the McCain-Feingold bill that became law, and then it was chiseled down brick by brick. We saw it diminished and undermined in the courts, and we know what the makeup is of the current U.S. Supreme Court. We see kind of where they're leaning in. It's corporations or people, and, you know, dark money shouldn't be disclosed. Well, even with the possibility of the passage of good, smart, sound electoral legislation, not the sort that suppresses, but the sort that makes it easier to vote, there'd be immediate legal challenges, don't you think, Matt? Don't you think they would run immediately to the U.S. Supreme Court and try to tear down the next round of legislation as well, sir?
Sure they would. They would on the dark money disclosure. But the funny thing is that even in the decision that we hate so much, the Citizens United decision of 2010 that said corporations and other groups can spend unlimited amounts of money to try to elect this candidate or trash that candidate, even in that decision, the justices said that disclosure is the biggest check on money in politics. So who knows how the U.S. Supreme Court would rule. And it may rule against H.R. 1 if it passed that part of it. But the rest of H.R. 1 would still stand. The fundamental solution for the problem, the real problem that you raise, is for us to amend the U.S. Constitution to declare once and for all that actually, you know, corporations aren't persons, and actually, you know, money isn't speech, and we should stop going with those falsehoods, and we should tear down all these precedents from the U.S. Supreme Court that date back to the late 19th century. And say, you know, we can, as citizens in this country, regulate these ads that happen during election season. Otherwise, you know, it's just the wild, wild west out there.
Yeah, but just because the people want it, the people want legalized marijuana, the people want the expansion of Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin and Medicare for all across the nation, at least if you poll them and if you ask them, what do you want? But this governance is not about we the people, Matt. It's about whoever's cashing the checks.
Well, what does it say about our democracy when we, the people, aren't getting what we want? I mean, we got a real problem with our democracy when we're not able to get what we want.
We have to move slowly, Matt, right?
Incrementalism.
Right? Yes, little by little, piece by piece. Matt, the voting, how do we is it, are we going to get around the filibuster? Do you think this is something that, that Biden, after a very passionate speech this week, that we're going to be able to use the filibuster as a, you know, use the voting rights and, you know, as a carve out for this particular topic? Do you think Sinema and Manchin will go along with something like that?
Well, I sure hope so, and I know the pressure is on them. And I love Joe Biden's speech.
It was wasn't it?
One of the greatest speeches he's ever given. You know, he was just talking so powerfully about how our democracy is hanging by a thread right now. He said this is the most perilous time for our democracy since the Civil War. I mean, that should grab people's attention.
Yeah, he wants you to be alarmed. You should be alarmed.
I love that line in there. Yeah. It was just
I'm not trying to alarm you, but you should be alarmed.
It was just typical Joe Biden. It was beautiful. But, you know, I've been watching politics for a long time. My best bet is actually H.R. 1's not going to pass. And that they're going to use a reconciliation for this monster infrastructure bill. Instead, that Manchin's going to go along with that and not the other.
And what about the John Lewis Voting Rights Act? We understand that Manchin is more supportive of that. Could you see support for the watered-down version of our preferred bill?
Yeah, I think he'll do that. That'll overturn a U.S. Supreme Court decision that gives the Justice Department more power to overturn or at least oversee voter suppression laws across the country. So that's important.
He's Batman. He's Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's graciously joined us on the deck here at Johnny's Lounge in Beaver Dam. The weather is glorious. The sun is shining. Waves on the lake. You could be a part of this political party. Come back. More with Matt Rothschild. More of the Devil's Advocates on the road again.
My number one guy.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. Tom and Kreutz, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show live on the road again. Johnny's Lounge in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Come on down if you are around. We'd love to see you.
Dominic, we got Batman here on the deck. Batman, actually, Matt Rothschild, the Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's a vigilante of good governance. And Matt, got to turn it a little closer to home. I know that you have been a part of pushing referendums. And unfortunately, here in the state of Wisconsin, referendums are non-binding. But you've been to a number of different communities, and the topic has been a nonpartisan redistricting process. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we had one of the most partisan gerrymanders in the history of our nation. And it's been disastrous for the culture of our state, for the governance of our state. And if you go out and you ask people, even at Beaver Dam, even in these quote-unquote red districts, they're not for gerrymandering. They want their representatives to serve the will of their constituents. Matt, can you speak to, first of all, the referendums, and then we'll talk about the greater gerrymandering issue?
Yeah, I think the two things that are really tearing Wisconsin apart in our politics, that are corrupting our politics, one is money in politics that we just finished talking about, and the other is gerrymandering, the ability of whichever political party is in power to rig the maps for 10 years on the even decade years and keep themselves in power, not by convincing anyone that their ideas are right, but by just moving a line here or there on the map. And you're right, people all across the state of Wisconsin are against that. There was a Marquette Law School poll that showed 72% of Wisconsinites opposed it, including 63% of Republicans and 76% of independents. And then on the resolutions and referendums that you were referring to, Crudy, 56 counties out of the 72 in Wisconsin, 56 counties have passed referendums or resolutions urging the legislature to ban gerrymandering and give us independent, nonpartisan redistricting. You know they're not 56 blue counties in Wisconsin. They're not 36 or 26 blue counties.
I'm not sure. Are there five blue counties in Wisconsin?
Well, generally, people, I think, Matt, are want a fair fight, right? And right. And Republicans, I think, when you talk about gerrymandering and you talk about stacking the deck in this way, recognize that, you know, they don't want it done to them either. You know, I mean, it's one thing to go out and compete for the votes based on ideas and candidates and, you know, don't believe it necessarily when they say they have better ideas and better candidates, not when you rig the maps this way. The Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin, of course, this is done with Democrats in other states, but specifically here in the state of Wisconsin, they're looking to what? Hold off on the redistricting? Is this too much going on? So they're trying to bump this back for, what, 6 or 8 months, Matt?
Oh, even more than that at the local level. The amazing thing is that they passed a bill that Evers thankfully vetoed. They passed a bill that would have delayed local redistricting to 2023 or 2024 for the counties, and so that we'd all have to live with the rigged maps that they imposed on us in 2011. And that is outrageous because the maps were so rigged. It's also outrageous because the population has changed in a lot of those districts. People have moved into, like, Dane County and Milwaukee County, and we're supposed to have one person, one vote, but there are a lot more people in those districts than there were before, so their voices actually are being diluted, and they don't have one person, one vote. So it was a terrible bill, and Evers was right to veto it, and he actually issued a real good statement on it, too.
Now, we had a bit of a heated discussion on air yesterday about strategically what it is the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, could have done, perhaps through the budgetary process. Dave Cheslevic, the former mayor of Madison, and, you know, everybody's got an opinion, but Dave published his in the paper recently, and we shared it on air, and then I mirrored some of his thoughts. And that is, Tony Evers could have played hardball with the budget, and this overwhelmingly supported non-fiscal item could have been included in the budget, Matt, and it's a must-pass, and Tony could have effectively force-fed it to Republicans, and it seems like a good scheme. Dom said it would have been a foregone conclusion. I think I'm right. What do you think?
So he could have forced the issue of nonpartisan redistricting. Is that what you're saying?
In the budget, according to Mayor Dave Cheslevic, former mayor.
I don't know if it would have worked with the Republicans, but you know, I didn't like the way Evers handled the budget in general. I thought he should have vetoed the whole budget, and they certainly should have had a message for the budget going in that would make some sense. It was just totally incoherent to me, especially the way Tony Evers all of a sudden claims these tax breaks are his tax breaks. Those are Republican tax breaks. Those tax breaks are helping the rich. Most of us are barely going to get a dime, if anything. People under $40,000 a year aren't getting squat. And so
the fact that he didn't veto them makes them his, right? He owns that budget now, does he not?
He owns it. He claimed it as his own.
It's bipartisan.
It was his idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is what I don't understand.
So why should he be backing a regressive tax policy? Why do you have a Democrat favoring that?
Well, what would you propose with $4 billion in the bank that no one thought was going to be there? What do you think, the state just should hang on to that?
I mean, the state could have done a lot better by spending more on schools, for instance.
No,
I know we
no
gave
doubt.
Them another $100
right,
million,
right.
But they should have given them a lot more on schools. And I think the school public school advocates were not happy about it. The UW advocates weren't happy about it. The people who wanted special ed getting more money weren't happy about it. And so why does he embrace it? And if he was going to embrace it, why was he saying, you know, everything's on the table beforehand, including a veto? I mean, it was just... you know, he was talking out of both sides of his mouth on this, and I think he's trying to position, obviously, for his reelection campaign and cover his backside, as were the Democrats who voted for the budget.
His concern, Matt, when he signed it was that, you know, if he doesn't go along, he doesn't do this, there's going to be, what, you know, $2.5 billion that's going to be left off the table, and he didn't have confidence that the Republicans would do anything to go back and fix that. Do you buy that argument?
Well, it's a decent argument that they didn't want to lose the federal funding. But I think he needed to position himself as, look, I'm a progressive Democratic governor. This is what I stand for. They're not giving us what I stand for. They can come back with another budget and I'll do it. Or here's my income tax proposal. I'm going to give middle class people a lot of money. They're not giving middle class people hardly any money. And I'm not going to give so much money to the rich. We'll introduce that bill and we'll see how they vote on it. If they want cover, for instance, for an ad during election time, or if they just want to stand on principle.
Matt Rothschild, he's Batman. He is the vigilante of good governance. Matt, you got a few more minutes for us?
I got nothing to do but hang out with you guys.
Party on the deck at Johnny's Lounge in Beaver Dam with these fine people and Batman and the Devil's Advocates. You could be a part. Join us. We're partying on the deck till 5, and then the post-game party, it'll go on. you know, for a while. More Devils. We'll be right back.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
I think the criticism will be dissipated as we move forward.
The pen is truly mightier than the sword.
The Devil's Advocates, so relevant they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. What is this?
Yacht rock, baby. That's right.
This is Little River Band. You get that, you take that out of your mouth, man. Grumble, grumble.
The Little River Band.
Little River Brian. Band. This is, you recognize Yacht Rock.
Calling the shots today, baby.
Folks, we are at the lakeside here at Johnny's Lounge on the deck in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Beautiful location, glorious weather, great company, including Matt Rothschild. He is Batman. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and he's sticking around for the good company and the great weather and the political party. But Matt, where we left off, you were saying how right I was about Tony Evers' weakness as the governor. No, I tease. Perhaps I'm casting a few thoughts in your head. But what should Tony Evers' strategy be? I mean, the guy's really had a deck stacked against him. And, you know, I've got all kinds of Monday morning quarterback great ideas for the governor.
Yes, he does.
But it's a lot easier to have opinions than actually get something done in this state over the objections of LeMahieu and Voss, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, bully pulpit, going and giving a big speech, forcefully going on the media tour. Does any of that stuff ever work, man?
Well, it can. You know, I like Tony Evers as a person.
And as do I.
I think he's a good candidate for re-election because he's a decent person. And, you know, I've liked some of the stuff he did, like that veto of that local redistricting bill was a really important thing for him to
sure.
do with a real good statement. I criticized him on the budget. But I also have to sympathize with him because here's a guy who was elected and then got both hands tied behind his back and duct tape over his mouth by the Republicans in the legislature when they took some of his power away and they run to the courts all the time and really are trying to everything in their powers to prevent him from trying to govern, including during COVID.
He wanted the job, and he wants the job again. You know, he's running of his own volition here, Matt. So, obviously, he must think that he has some impact as the governor and that he can somehow shepherd us better than, let's say, Rebecca Clayfish or the Republican alternative.
Right, and I think what he thinks is, if I weren't here, the state would really be going to hell in a handbasket. And he's right about that. I mean, he is a backstop. He is a goalie against these Republicans.
Well, he's not the Republican, right?
So yeah, I mean, look, that helps.
I'm not saying that any Democrat, but certainly a Democrat versus a Republican in the governor's mansion is a big difference.
It is. And look at the voter suppression bills that passed the state assembly and the state senate. I mean, those would be the law by now. If a Republican was governor or if the Republicans had a veto-proof majority. Fortunately, they don't have either. And I think Evers understands that maybe he's in the best position of any Democrat to get reelected as governor. And so he's doing the prudent thing politically in his positioning. I mean, I disagree with it on the budget. But, hell, I don't have to look at the polls and look at the
right.
campaign that's coming and look at the negative ads that they're going to throw in my face. So, you know, I understand that it's easy taking pot shots on radio for me. You know, I do also think he could be more forceful and that they could have a coherent message.
No doubt about that, man. I agree with you there. The former mayor of Madison basically said perhaps there should be a primary candidate on the Dem side against Evers. What's your take on that?
Even Crudy's not that harsh, but please call me out.
Well, you know, I don't know that it would do much good. I think Evers is going to get the nomination. I mean, I'm usually for primaries, especially if it's an open seat. People need the batting practice.
Yep.
The public needs to know the candidates. The public knows, especially the Democratic public, knows Tony Evers and, by and large, is very happy with the job he's doing. So, you know, I disagree with Mayor Dave on that one, I guess, unless he's running.
Maybe he is, right?
Man, let's contrast the governance styles of Evers and a former governor we had in the state of Wisconsin. And for a change, I don't mean the wanker. I mean Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson was a big personality. He was very charismatic. He was sort of a Wisconsinite's Wisconsinite, if you will. Now, not everything he did I agree with. But when Tommy Thompson was the governor of the state of Wisconsin, I truly felt as if he cared about the state of Wisconsin. It wasn't all about Tommy. It was about the people of Wisconsin. Tony Evers doesn't have the personality of a Tommy Thompson, but do you think if Tommy was faced with an oppositional legislature, do you think he'd roll over and sign their budget in the same way, or would he have gone out publicly, forcefully, and at least tried to have these arguments before he capitulated?
Yeah, or maybe he wouldn't capitulate. Let's give Tommy Thompson his due. I mean, he was the most gifted political athlete in Wisconsin in the last 30 years. I mean, he just has great political skills. He knows everybody's name. He slaps people on the back. He's friendly toward them most of the time. And he's just a good politician, no doubt about it. And he's in a good, thank God he's in a good position now. I mean, I haven't been a Tommy Thompson supporter ever, never voted for him. But I'm glad he's been heading up the university because he's able to argue their case with the Republican legislature better than anyone. So, but yeah, Tommy has more political skills, I think, than Tony Evers. But Tony Evers does care about the people of Wisconsin. I think that comes out loud and clear whenever he talks. And he's a little quieter, more mild-mannered of a personality than big Tommy Thompson. But I think his authenticity, the governor's, Tony Evers, and his Wisconsin nice, those things play in his favor.
Bill McCoshin was Tommy Thompson's chief of staff. McCoshin's making noise like he's going to run as the Republican nominee, or at least throw his hat in the ring to be the Republican nominee. Seems far more likely that the party will galvanize around Rebecca Clayfish. And I didn't see them publicize it, but I did talk to a source close to the Clayfish soon-to-be campaign, the campaign in waiting. She won the straw poll at the GOP convention here in Wisconsin with like 80%. And I think McCoshin was under 5%. By all indications, Rebecca Clayfish is, you know, been laying in wait, preparing her candidacy, you know, earning favors and lining up donors.
And hiding behind a nonprofit.
And she's done all, well, that's a whole different story. But as a candidate, she is the very sort of demographic that Trump failed to capture. She is the typical suburban woman, or at least will play herself that way on the campaign. Do you think that she is a uniquely dangerous candidate for Evers because she sort of fills in where Trump was very, very weak with suburban women?
Well, I think she's got the inside lane in the Republican primary for sure. I don't think she's going to be a uniquely threatening candidate against him despite those obvious advantages that you just spelled out, because I think Evers on the issues can outplay her. And part of it is going to be the money, how much each side raises. Part of it is going to be technically, you know, how good are their ads? I mean, because that's how elections are won these days, with money and ads. They're not won by newspaper endorsements. They're not run by going town to town. Those days are gone now. They're run by how much money you can raise and how good are your ads.
Now, let me ask you, if that is the case, Joe Biden, to my understanding, spent something to the tune of $54 million in this.
Was that a fan?
I don't. Well, there's a fan crossing
of course,
the street.
Of course,
non-fan hurrying off to her perspective bar. What was I talking about?
The money in the governor's of the race, Senate race. You're talking about Ron Johnson's race?
No, now you've lost me, man. No, here's what I was talking about. Biden had $54 million,
right?
And Trump really was under-resourced. Perhaps it's because he's, you know, taking all the money and putting it in his own pocket.
Specifically here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, really across the country. I mean, the Biden campaign had way more resources, and yet we saw a very similar outcome to what we saw in 2016. 20,000 votes that Trump won this state by in 16, and 20,000 votes that Biden won the state by. Biden had $54 million. And $54 million only created an electoral advantage of 20,000 votes, Matt. Well, is it really the money? I mean, once upon a time, I would have said it's the money. Now the Republicans are sometimes disadvantaged to the Democrats in the money column, and it still feels like it's a toss.
Right. That's why I want Republicans to come around for campaign finance reform, because they're getting beat up.
Now they get it.
Ben Wickler's beating them at their own game, but, and bless his heart. But look at Wisconsin is just split down the middle. I mean, that's
right,
what every election in the last 10 years has showed us. We're just purple as purple can be. You know, you throw a rock and you throw 10 rocks, you're going to hit 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats, basically, or 3-3 and 3 independents. But, you know, it's just really close. So money is only going to affect on the margins, but that's where elections that are this close are won.
Turning out the margins here in the state of Wisconsin on Tuesday, we had a Assembly District 37. We might be in the 37th, but we had a Assembly District special election kind of over in this portion of the state, central Wisconsin. And as near as I can tell, the Democrats didn't even compete in the race, man. And we had 9 Republicans vying in the primary for a Assembly seat that you got to go run for re-election next year in. And we had one former town council member, Pete Adams, who unfortunately lost as the Democrat. But in a district with 54,000 voters, Matt, the guy lost by 700 votes. And I think there were probably 700 votes to have. And my question is, while I get the fact that Ben Wickler and the Democratic Party has suddenly learned how to cash big checks, God bless him, I guess. But you still got to win some legislative races. You still got to go and compete district by district, handshake by handshake, kissed baby by kissed baby. It's still about retail politics in so many of these cases, and I'm not clear that the Democrats are competing in the same way. Hell, the Republicans were knocking doors in the 37th, and what do you know, they won.
Well, especially locally, I think. I mean, presidential races, that's done all by ads. But in these local races, you can knock on a sufficient number of doors to make a difference. And I do think the Democrats under Ben Wickler's leadership are beginning to understand that we should compete or that they should compete in every district. You know, it just pains me to look at elections where Republicans, or Democrats for that matter, are running unopposed. I mean, even in Madison, I think Republicans are crazy not to run candidates against the Democrat who's obviously going to win.
If nothing else, get your name out there. You know, martyr yourself, get some name recognition so you run next time. Never, you know, most people don't win the first time they run, Matt.
Absolutely. And what is politics? Politics is getting your base out and also trying to convince a fraction of the people who don't already agree with you that your idea for what's best for the state or what's best for the country is the way to go. And you got to get the word out somehow. You got to talk issues that people really care about. And you got to listen to people in your district. And if you're a Democrat and you're in a pretty red district, you got to listen to people and say why your ideas or why Joe Biden's ideas or why Tony Evers' ideas are going to help people right there on their kitchen table.
Okay. Matt Rothschild, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's the executive director joining us on the deck at Johnny's. You know, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign tracks the money in politics here locally in the state of Wisconsin. Senator Ron Johnson has been listed as one of the perhaps most vulnerable senators out there, and he's not doing any favors for himself by his actions to take himself off that list, Matt. But, you know, as a guy who tracks the money with your team, $100 million perhaps coming into the state of Wisconsin, that's a lot of money. And as you mentioned, man, that can perhaps impact the fringe. But what kind of effect do you think, you know, the legacy of Donald Trump will have here on the next election cycle? And certainly, you know, Trump himself personally has lots of headwinds, you know, lots of court cases, anywhere from fraud of his company to election interference down in Georgia and everything in between. So a lot can happen between now and that next, you know, the senatorial run. But what kind of impact do you think, what kind of drag do you think that might have on the Republicans as they run for office in the midterms?
Yeah, I'm looking for a split in the Republican Party, both nationwide, which we've seen with Liz Cheney, but also here in Wisconsin. Former Republican Congressman Reed Ribble and Tom Petri have already signed statements that the Republican Party has got to get over Trump, defend democracy, and if they don't, they should form a new party. And people like Dale Schultz, the former Senate Majority Leader of the Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, he's not on Team Trump. And he thinks the Republican Party needs to awaken itself. So I'm hoping those three will travel the state and get on radio shows like this and get their message out and tell Republicans to get over Trump.
Doesn't take much of a split for them to really hurt themselves electorally.
No, it's time to end the cult, though. That's the most important thing we can do for democracy all across this country.
He's Batman. He is Matt Rothschild. He is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And most importantly, he's a friend of ours that showed up at the party in Beaver Dam at Johnny's Lounge. We're on the deck. Come back with us. Join the party if you're anywhere near Dodge County. It's a short drive, I suspect. Come on out and party with us. Matt Rothschild, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys, as always.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Batman.
My party is going bat crazy.